preaching quite often this year. We're saving money around the chapel. So when I preach, we save money. It's one of the reasons why Steve and I are preaching this year quite often. In a new direction, so we have more funds for ministry. We lost a lot of people this year, death and things like that. I'd like to thank my friend Todd Strachan for coming out today. Don't get embarrassed, Todd.
I ask you to pray for him, too. Pray for Todd Strachan. He's a county worker, and he's getting a little poked at for being a Christian lately. And that's a hard thing to handle. And we'll talk about that a little later. Let's just ask the Lord for his guidance. Father, we ask for prayer now as we look into the Word that things won't be offended, that we can disagree without being too disagreeable. And that it would be good to be here. The Word of God would speak to each one of our hearts today and fashion us in the likeness of Jesus. Because that's what we want to be like, because we're going to spend all eternity with him. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't usually title messages, but today I put a title on one.
Have you read the fine print in your fire insurance policy? That's the title of my message. I don't normally title a message.
Most people purchase fire insurance and feel safe, but don't read the fine print in their policy, and when it happens, they suffer a great loss by not taking actions, such as filing things and receipts and certain pictures and videos in like fireproof safes. The same goes for most people. Most people become Christians because they were afraid of going to hell, and they never stop and read the fine print in their Bible regarding their new Christian life, and when it finally happens, they will suffer great loss also. Most of the time, it's not really their fault. They go to church, and they hear the Bible taught, and they can't seem to live up to the Christian life. Or they don't even think they're saved. And they wonder these things because they hear things like, I see no fruit in his life, so they must not be saved. Some preachers will teach on certain passages, and they will have a saved person, a professing Christian, and an unsaved person in their passage. The professing person usually is unsaved also. Even some of us Christians are guilty of being what is called a fruit inspector. Fruit inspecting is looking at a person's way of life and determining whether they are saved, born again, or not. But we are careful not to say that about our own kids or our family members. We have to be careful on what the biblical meaning of born again means. Because if we are looking at church attendance or someone's habits that we don't seem to have, then we are in a world of trouble. Not only that, most of our family isn't saved, and not even some of the people that we go to church with are either.
Does a Christian have to have fruit in his life or make the Lord Jesus Lord of his life or go to church in order to have the gift of eternal life?
This is where the rubber meets the road. And before you start thinking about what I'm going to say and getting all crazy in your thoughts, I want to leave something with you. If Jesus were here today and he said to you, how about we talk today about your and mine little secrets? How about I stand up here and I talk about only the secrets that you and I know about? Would you fruit inspect after that? We have to be very careful when we look at people's lives and our habits. Because we have a couple of habits under control, we don't want to jump to the conclusion that a person's not born again. Because let me tell you what happens when you do that. You take the Christian responsibility right out of your hands and right out of theirs. You have no need to disciple them anymore because they're not saved. We're going to go on with this. And this is where the rubber meets the road. Becoming a Christian is the most easiest thing a person can do. Remember that. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. That is why the Lord, when talking to the most religious and educated student, a seminary student of his time in Jerusalem, Jesus said, "Truly, except a man be born again." That word "again" in the Greek means from above. "You shall not see the kingdom of God." This man was educated. This man was religious. This man was a Pharisee. This man had all the fruits you could ever imagine. He would walk in a public building and he would look righteous. And people used to awe at him because he was righteous. This man's name is Nicodemus, and he was the ruler of Israel. He was the head of the Sanhedrin. This is what Jesus said to this man. If anybody was a fruit inspector, this man was. And he was coming to inspect some fruit on Jesus. He says, "You must become like a child and have the faith and trust that Jesus alone will take you to heaven." He needed to place his faith in the object that would save him. You see, because Nicodemus couldn't get it. And a lot of people don't get it either. So Jesus gives him an illustration that he can comprehend with being a Pharisee. He takes him back to the Mosaic Law. Now he knows what he's talking about. He didn't understand all this being born again stuff of the Spirit and the water. He says, "As Moses was lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." See, back in that day when Moses was walking through the wilderness and the children of Israel were grumbling and murmuring, God sent fiery serpents on them. Moses was told by God to fasten a serpent to a pole, place it in the center of the tabernacle, and anybody who looked on it was saved. Looked on the serpent, on the pole, placing their faith in the object that would save them. And that's why Jesus identifies himself with the serpent. He needed Nicodemus to place his faith in the object that would save him. And that is the Lord Jesus. And that is what saves us, placing our faith in the object that saves us. He says to him, "You must be born again." Don't stress out about it, don't think about it, and don't marvel about it. You must be born again. It's interesting, Jesus gives a commandment when he says this. This is not just talking, it's a commandment. And you must be born again. It's the same word Paul uses, that this incorruptible must put on incorruption. It's going to happen. You're going to die. Or, Lord willing, you'll get raptured. But it's going to happen, and it must happen. And you must be born again, it says. You must be, Jesus says to him. You need to start all over. So this seminary graduate needs to start over again. And that's basically what he was telling him.